passage in Luke 24. If you don't have a Bible, just raise a hand, and I'm going to ask Jackie and Michael if you could just grab it. And Quentin, can you grab a couple of Bibles just to pass around to people who might have a hand raised? Thank you, Pierre, for doing that. That's really good of you. And just keep your hand raised. Someone's going to bring a Bible. And we're turning to page number. It's Luke's Gospel, and the page is 1061. This is one of the stories of what Jesus did on Easter Sunday afternoon. We gather on a Sunday rather than a Saturday as Christians, because this is Resurrection Day. This is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And I don't know what you would have done if you had been crucified 3 days ago, if you'd been mocked, if you'd been ridiculed, if you'd been spat on and beaten, if you'd been falsely accused. I don't know what you'd have done if you'd risen from the dead that day. Maybe you'd think, right, I'm going as far away from here and just enjoying a break. Or maybe you'd go, you know what, I'm going to come back, and that pilot, I'm going to just say, here I am, you thought I wasn't who I said I was, well look, I am. Or maybe you'd appear above the whole of Jerusalem to the crowds who'd shouted, crucify, crucify, and go, look, it's me. What would you have done? What would you have done if you were Jesus on that first Easter Sunday afternoon? Well, we're going to read what he did, and we're going to pick up the story in verse 13 of chapter 24. It's entitled On the Road to Emmaus. Emmaus was a place about 7 miles west of Jerusalem, and that's about the same distance as from here to Lewis. So different direction, but same kind of distance. So here's what happened. Now, on that same day, that first Easter Sunday, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And they stood still, their faces downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days? What things? He asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning. They didn't find his body. And they came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said. But they did not see Jesus. He said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us. For it is nearly evening, the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? And then they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. And then the two told of what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Lord Jesus, please, in this time now, draw near. Lord, please, take these words and this passage and help us see you more clearly. Take this simple meal of remembrance and help us encounter you, the risen Lord, we pray. For we ask in your name and in the power of your Spirit. Amen. The presence of Jesus changes everything. I don't know what you're going through, but this I do know. The presence of Jesus changes everything. As the man who founded a charity called Open Doors that works with the persecuted church, a man called Brother Andrew, he said this, wherever Jesus is, there is always hope. Wherever Jesus is, there is always hope. There's hope in the concentration camps of North Korea where many of our Christian brothers and sisters are. There's hope in Syria, in a place that's had civil war now for so many years. Over 7 years, they've been caught up in the grip of a horrendous war. There is hope wherever Jesus is. And so in this time, tonight, in what you're going through, in the streets of Brighton and Hove, as we go out to try and minister to the homeless not just this next weekend, but as we as churches seek to do that in a regular way across the city, there is hope for those who feel there is no hope in our city. And today I want to talk about how Jesus wants us to encounter him and how we can encounter him and how it can turn around the lives of someone who maybe thinks Jesus doesn't exist, like the Apostle Saul, who thought that Jesus was dead and that was the end of him, and he wanted to crush out this kind of whole thing of of these Christians who said Jesus was alive, and then the risen Jesus met with Saul and he became the Apostle Paul. Or how he can lift two who are walking along a road discouraged, downcast, it says, and then Jesus comes and draws alongside and lifts them. You see, when we live with a vision of Jesus, with a recognition that he's near, it changes everything. I love that all through our lives we can at different points still be overwhelmed even by a fresh vision of Jesus. I've spoken here in the past on Revelation chapter 1 and an amazing time in the Bible where the Apostle John, who'd walked with Jesus, who'd been on that mountain when he was heard the voice come from heaven, "This is my son," the Apostle John, who'd been there at the resurrection and seen Jesus alive, and yet when he's 80, he encounters Jesus in such a way that he has to fall on his face, overwhelmed by this vision of Jesus. I know in my life that one of the things that helps me most each day is to think, what is it about Jesus that I'm carrying with me through today? What is it about Jesus that you're remembering today in a fresh way? It might be something familiar. Maybe you've known it for many, many years, but freshly today, what are you carrying with you about Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Lord, the Hope Bringer, the Prince of Peace? And so that's what I want us to think about this evening. I want to think about seeing Jesus in whatever we're going through. And the first thing I want to see here is that Jesus, he comes up and draws alongside. He's nearer than you think. And particularly if you're going through something where Jesus seems far. These folks, they thought he was dead. And yet Jesus was nearer than they think. And tonight, Jesus is nearer than you think in what you're going through. And not just in this place, but as you leave and go back into whatever challenges you face, Jesus is nearer than they realized. And interestingly in this passage, do you want to look with me at verse 16? It is a remarkable verse. Look what happens. We know that Jesus wants to be known, and yet here it says they were kept from recognizing him. I mean, this is amazing. Why would, and it seems to be that it wasn't just that Jesus, the kind of light was bad, or that Jesus had changed his haircut and didn't have a beard or something like that. It wasn't just that. It seems that there was some supernatural work of God that meant they were kept from recognizing him. I mean, why? Why, when actually we're going to read in a number of different places, even at the end of Luke 24, that he wants them to come and see him and know that he's alive. Well, God's ways are higher than our ways. They're better than our ways. There's some purpose that God has in this encounter. And in our kind of fast food society where we would love to kind of know things quick or see things quick, Jesus on that night in evening when he'd first risen from the dead chooses just to walk alongside and ask these disciples, Cleopas, and I call him what's his name or what's her name. We don't know who this other disciple was. He's walking along and he's asking them questions, you know. Oh, so what happened in Jerusalem? And they're like, what? Don't you know? And of course he knows. And yet he wants to draw them out. He wants us to see something. He wants them to see something which I think we can learn from too. And the first main thing I want to say tonight is that what he does as he draws alongside, as he listens, he then points them to the scriptures. We've not got time to go into everything in this amazing passage, but look what he does in verse 25. It says this, he said to them, how foolish you are and slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. What I want us to see tonight is that we can see Jesus in the scriptures. That as we encounter this bit of the Bible, what we see amazingly is that these disciples have an experience like we have, week by week and day by day. They don't know that Jesus is near, they don't recognize him, but Jesus turns to the scriptures, to the Bible, to help them see him and know him and see the purposes and plans of God. And tonight, as we come with our Bibles open, and as you think in your life, how do I get to know Jesus better? And maybe at the beginning of a day or in the middle of a night when you're going through a night where you're struggling to sleep or where the challenges of life are weighing heavily upon you, take your Bible, open it up. You can encounter Jesus. You can see him in the scriptures. And amazingly, he actually particularly points them back, not just to what the women said or even to what Jesus said. He takes them back to the Old Testament, sometimes the bits that we struggle most to see Jesus in. And yet Jesus is there all through the scriptures. And we can see about why he must suffer and how he was to die and how he was to be risen from the dead. And I think, Stephen, as you were just sharing about moving from kind of pastoral work into kind of pastoral academic work and helping people to see in the scriptures this wonderful Savior Jesus Christ so that we could be better able to minister and serve others out of that, but also to be just food for the soul. Brothers and sisters, this book, I encourage you, open it up. One of the things I'm so thankful today on Father's Day for my dad is that he encouraged me to dig into God's Word. I saw that modeled in his life. I saw him taking time to open it and to read it and to teach me things from it. In fact, this Bible he gave me back in 1988, and he wrote in it, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, one who correctly handles the Word of Truth," a word from 2 Timothy chapter 2, which interestingly, when I came into membership here, was the verse I got given in membership as well by some people. So I want to encourage you, dig into God's Word. Let it be something that allows you to encounter Christ. And tonight, I want to say this as we come to the scriptures. I want to point us to this amazing thing that the Bible as a whole sweep points us to the plans and purposes of God. And this meal that we're about to share is right central to them because Jesus had to come and had to suffer and then enter his glory. It's Jesus teaching them from the scriptures right back from Moses all the way through how there's a need for us to have a substitute, a savior who was going to die in our place. Why did he have to suffer? Well, because we needed saving. Because my sin and your sin separates us from a holy God. We've all of us here failed God's holy standard. We've not loved God as we should. We've not loved our neighbor as ourselves. All of us could have stood up and said a testimony to say, you know what, I'm not what I should be. But God in his grace came in the person of Jesus Christ and suffered in my place. You see, when we disobey God's word, it's like we've turned our back on the author of life and we deserve death. That is what the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. And so we come to this table as those who don't deserve this. We don't deserve the grace and love of God. We deserve death. And yet, he has come and died in our place, in my place. The Christ, the Messiah, the Deliverer, had to suffer. That was the only way we could be free. And then enter his glory. He died and rose again, conquering death, that you and I might know a freedom and a life. Not to then, as we were hearing, just live life our own way, but to follow his way. The path of Calvary, the way that is death and resurrection, of dying to ourselves, that others might live and that we might live with him in his way. We're caught up into this amazing plan and purpose of God. And so Jesus opens up the scriptures to them that they might see him. And I want to encourage you. I don't know what pattern you have. Maybe you just every now and then pick up your Bible. But I'd encourage you, make it a daily pattern. I don't know where you're reading at the moment, and sometimes that can be a blockage, but I just would encourage you, find a place. Why not start in Luke's gospel back at the beginning? Just read a little bit each day. I remember once being kind of encouraged, why not just take 7 minutes a day to read the Bible? It didn't seem like a lot, so I thought I could do that. Often it turned out you read it for longer, but sometimes you don't even read it that much. But just a few minutes to turn to the scriptures, and I just say, God, would you help me see something about you, Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, that I can then carry with me through today. And often just jot it down, not always, but just what is it today that I'm carrying with me about Jesus from the Word? It might actually be that it's a song that comes to mind as you're thinking about that, or it's something that you can then share with others, and we see that they do that here as well. But first I want to see one more thing as we come to this special table. They urged him to stay on longer. Do you notice that? I love that. Jesus continued on as if he were going further. I mean, it's just remarkable how, you know, talk about Jesus doing surprising things. He says he continues as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, stay with us. So he went in to stay with them. And it says, when he was at the table with them, he took bread. He gave thanks and broke it. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. I don't know if Jesus particularly had this meal in mind when this moment happened. They had eaten much with Jesus. He had a lot of meals with people. And there's something powerful about when people get together to eat together with Jesus at the center. There's something powerful when we come and share in a meal and give thanks. And Jesus did that many times, and he broke bread with them. And I want to say, again, it's so good you're here tonight, because all over the world, people are doing what we're doing, because they've discovered that something happens when you come together, when you worship, when you pray, and when you break bread. Just as Jesus encouraged his disciples to do, to remember his body broken for us at the cross, and the cup that reminds us of his blood shed. There's something powerful that happens. We're reminded of our crucified and risen Savior, the one who was dead and is alive forever. We're reminded that in these very simple, ordinary things that you could so easily miss, it's just a loaf of bread, we can encounter and see something of the Savior of the entire world, the hope. And the bread reminds us that he was broken, that we could be made whole, because we all come broken in our different ways tonight. And the cup reminds us of his blood poured out for us for the forgiveness of our sins. And as we, in a moment, take a piece of bread, and I encourage you, we say here that anyone who believes in Jesus Christ, who recognizes your need, that you need a Savior, you need forgiving, being forgiven, as Michael was saying. When we recognize that you need forgiveness, that God wants to forgive you through Jesus Christ. Just take a piece of bread. It's for you. And receive it by faith. And we're going to be served with the bread in a moment. And we're going to eat it as we receive it. And then later we're going to take the cup. We're going to hold on to it together as a sign of our faith. But if for any reason you're not sure, you still got things that you want to explore, then please just feel free to let it pass. This, as you can see tonight, is kind of quite an informal gathering. But it's a time when we're coming in as we're on holy ground. These are precious symbols. But they're a place and a time where we're able to see Jesus. And my prayer is that as we see him, both through this amazing passage, through the breaking of bread, through our time together, that there'll be something of our hearts burning within us. This is amazing, what Jesus has done for me. What Jesus has done in fulfilling scripture, and he's working out a plan that's all through history, and he's working out things for his glory and for the extension of his kingdom. And these people, when they hear it and they see it, boy, does it touch them. They start running. There they were, walking off to Emmaus, heads down, and then now they're running back to Jerusalem to tell people that it's true, he's alive. And then they say, oh yeah, the Lord has risen. He's appeared to Simon, this one who'd failed him. And yet Jesus in his goodness and grace has come in his mercy, even to such a Simon, even to such as you and I. And may we go and want to be together with others and tell others in our city this good news that Jesus has done things for us. So as we see him, we share of him. As we find ourselves again encountering this Savior, we can speak of him to others. So I want to invite the band to come up. They're going to help us prepare to just share in this simple meal of remembrance. And I want to invite you, maybe with this passage open in front of you, and as we prepare to take this meal, just to come and see Jesus in the scriptures and in this meal. Maybe you're very familiar with this passage and very familiar with this meal, but say, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you afresh tonight. And may he just reveal something to your heart afresh of who he is, the risen Savior, the hope bringer.